interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a Thursday, May 16 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Touching off at the Tap Room River Ranch and live on 1037 The Game. Ben Love here. Yeah, we've got Rhythms on the River. Yeah, we've got my man Corey Lynn Landry at 8 o'clock. That's music talk. It's all sports for the next 2 hours. In tow, my man, the famous Clint D, live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Great guest today, great topics. Well, at least most of them, pretty great. I'm going to lead off with two as we split screen it out of the gates today. One of them, I think, is very positive. We'll go in on the New Orleans Pelicans. The other, with Patrick Peterson, decidedly less, but it's still very important. And we will get you an update on the 101st playing of the PGA Championship at the beginning of segment number two. Golf fans, we got you. But let's lead with the Pelicans. They're still management, brass, still in Chicago. And I love to see this. They're doing their due diligence, according to all the reporters in Chi-Town, on the rest of this draft process after Zion Williamson. They're interviewing a number of the guys that are still out there getting measured, leaping around, shooting basketballs in the Windy City. And there's an interesting reminder that comes behind this. They're not just drafting first as things stand today. Forget about dealing with the Knicks, the Lakers. Yeah, I think one of those two is likely. But as things stand, the Pels also have the 39th and 57th overall picks. I know, this isn't the NFL draft, the MLB draft. You're not expecting to hit anything at 57. 39 might be a different story. You're getting awfully close to, well, just for example, Draymond Green territory there. So the Pels, as constituted, they've got more work to do. And I think that, plus what I'm about to tell you, should make you feel even better about the David Griffin era. According to reports from Agent Wojnarowski, who always has the mother load for the mothership, Ja Morant yesterday met with teams that possessed the first three picks. Yeah, that includes New Orleans, Memphis, and New York. No question about it. The Pels are taking Zion Williamson, and there's good news on that front, at least reportedly on the Zion side. I'll get to that in a second. But I love that Griffin and his staff so far are leaving no stone unturned. Now, make no doubt about it. As I said, they're going to take Zion Williamson first overall, and they should. The Grizzlies have made it pretty known as well. They intend to take Ja Morant second overall. What that means for Mike Conley outside of Beale Street, your guess as good as mine. I would imagine that he's trade bait. But here's what that means. And you can probably guess that A plus B equals C here, right? Does it take a Pythagorean theorem to figure this out? You can get R.J. Barrett at number three. I think he's a guy that in other drafts might have been a top two pick. I love the idea, as I told you yesterday, of trying to pry number three away from the New York Knicks and picking first and third in this draft. If you want to talk about an overhaul of your team in a hurry, and of course you're not going to have to stop there. There's so much more that you can get from the Knicks. I told you yesterday my preferred deal at this point would be the third overall pick, Kevin Knox, and next year's first-round pick, one of them from the Knicks in exchange for Anthony Davis. We had at least one guest yesterday, our good friend Scott Alexander. He said, all that's great, but add Dennis Smith Jr. to the mix. The Knicks got him from the Mavs last year in the Porzingis deal. Wouldn't that be sweet to pair him with Jrue Holiday? Might possibly make Elfrid Payton a little expendable, but, well, we'll see. But here's where I think there's a really intriguing philosophical debate. And where else would you have this kind of conversation but at a bar, right? And I had it as I walked in today. had somebody tell me right off the bat when they saw me unpacking the gear, this has got to be great for keeping Anthony Davis. He's got to want to stay. Why wouldn't he stay? That's the best play, Ben. They need him to stay. That's how they win a championship. That's how they get there sooner than later. And I'm not sure that I agree, because you're going to have to pay Anthony Davis $35 to $40 million a year. If you go the semi-blow-it-up route with all of these blue-chip picks this year, say you get three from the Knicks, even four from the Lakers. I don't love the idea of 14 from Boston, but even throw that into the equation. Because the caveat with Boston is that instead of getting Kevin Knox in return, for example, or Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, the caveat is you're getting Jason Tatum. He's the best player of that bunch right now, in my estimation. No due disrespect to Kyle Kuzma, but I think that the best upside for next year and the next 10 years belongs to Jason Tatum. And so some of you may think that Danny Ainge still has the best package to offer. I just don't want to sit at that proverbial poker table with Danny Ainge. I'd rather get there with James Dolan and his crew of flunkies. Absolutely. Take advantage of foolish ownership. I'm going to tattoo that onto your forehead between now and June 20th when we have the NBA draft. But I'll tell you today, now some, 44 hours removed from the news in New Orleans, I'll tell you today that I love the fact that the Pels are still doing their due diligence. I love the fact, as was reported out of Baton Rouge today, all credit goes to Jordy Kalata, T-Bob Hebert off the bench, ESPN 104.5, 104.9 in the capital city. Those guys pulled a great guest. I mean, truly. Zion Williamson's stepdad, and you've probably heard it by now. I'll paraphrase it. Zion is not even considering returning to Duke, and he's excited to play for the New Orleans Pelicans. That according to Zion's stepdad, again, on Baton Rouge Sports Talk Radio this morning. The other part of that conversation was that Zion's stepdad has already met with Alvin Gentry, with David Griffin. So let me assure you, this thing is going down the path that it needs to. It's what you surround him with that's important. But that philosophical debate is an interesting one. Do you pay Anthony Davis, try to get another marquee free agent, and just stay pat with your number one overall pick? We'll see. I like the idea of getting 1-3, a couple nice pieces, and another pick next year. But this debate is one we'll be able to have for the next month and 4 days. All right, finishing the split screen in segment number one. You know, it's almost like the sports gods in South Louisiana can't let us have too much good at the same time. Got to strike you down once you start to feel good just a little bit, right? Once the turtle head comes out of the shell. Once the beaver sees his shadow. All right, these are really bad puns, but you get what I'm saying. I'll be damned. Patrick Peterson suspended 6 games by the NFL for performance-enhancing drugs. And that is one of the last guys I would have ever suspected that from. An 8-time Pro Bowler. I'll put that in perspective for you. He came out in the 2010 draft. This year is May of 2019. 8-time Pro Bowler. One of the absolute best at his position. One of the best defensive players in the league. The details, well, we don't know yet. At least why. What I can tell you is this. Most policy violations for first-time offenders especially result in 4 games. This one was first reported as 8 by Adam Schefter of the Four Letter Network, and as Peterson, his representation and the Cardinals will not appeal, it was quickly dropped to 6 games. So something went above and beyond here. I'm not so certain that means that he did something even more heinous, but there have been some suggestions that maybe this is somehow related to the selling of these things. I hate to even go down that road too much. You want to go to Twitter, you want to go to Google, you'll find it. But here's what I know. I don't know why this is happening. I just know that it shocks the hell out of me, and I feel for the former LSU Tiger. He'll be eligible to return October 20th at the New York Giants. Financially, this will cost PP7, turn PP21, about $3.9 million in lost wages. So a guy that I will tell you was the best, most natural athlete that I covered during my time as a beat writer at LSU. Yes, that includes Leonard Fournette. Yes, that includes Ben Simmons. You can line them up and PP7 knocked them down. Now, I can make an interesting case, and I have before on this show, that Tyrann Mathieu might have actually been the more impactful player. But as far as just that, I mean, born to do it, built in a lab prototype. What I'll always remember about Patrick Peterson is the first half of the North Carolina game 2010 in Atlanta inside the old Georgia Dome. May it rest in peace. When they finally decided, you know what? Should probably see what it looks like for him to return punts. Yeah. Well, he had like 210 yards of punt return yardage in the first half of that game. He ran one back against West Virginia, struck the Heisman pose, and I mean, you would have been hard-pressed to find a better Heisman candidate halfway through that season than Peterson. And so what I remember is him literally almost running too fast for his body size, returning punts in that UNC game. I mean, legitimately, the guy was so big and muscular, you almost saw him running to where he kind of fell head over feet and did a somersault. He was that freakishly fast, even in that body. So, again, today, the news, he suspended six games. And that's tough news there for the Cardinals that are trying to rebuild with Cliff Kingsbury at the helm and a number one overall pick at quarterback in Kyler Murray. All right, I told you, big show today. We're with you for 2 hours right up until the pregame show for LSU Auburn baseball. First pitch from the box is 6:30. The pregame show featuring Doug Thompson and Chris Blair begins at 6 o'clock. Between now and then, we'll go to the box. Hunt Palmer at 4:30, breaking the series down between the Tigers and, well, the Tigers, and then at 5 o'clock, we take it to New Orleans. He's got his fingers on the pulse of Sports Talk Radio in the Big Easy. Gus Kattengill reacting to the news of Zion, the Pels, and what comes next. Again, that's at straight up 5 o'clock. One other thing we have on the agenda for today. And if it weren't for all this ping pong ball news, I'd have gotten to it sooner in the week. At 5:30, I want to run back some clips of my conversation with Louis Cook. We talked last Friday out at Rufino's on the River. The clips I'm going to run back are all specific to the potential of playing high school football title games at Cajun Field, and then maybe some of the financial implications. I don't want to just blow past that because it was very, very important, and there aren't a lot of coaches I've heard talking on the record on this subject. So we'll do that. Q&A replay with Louis Cook at 5:30. Don't go anywhere. More Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
How about a golf update, including a course record today set at Bethpage Black? That plus your sink or swim question of the day. Getting right back into the Tap Room River Ranch. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. All right, Clint, enough of me. How about that update from the 101st PGA Championship?
Definitely was an interesting first round. Obviously, you brought up the course record set at Bethpage Black, and that is Brooks Koepka setting a course record 63 in the first round of the PGA Championship. Right behind him is Danny Lee at 6 under, so definitely a lot of competition, only one stroke behind after one round of play. Tommy Fleetwood at 3 under, and then you got Chez Reavie and Luke List, two names that honestly I didn't expect to be in that top five heading into round number one, and all these guys, they're finished up for the day, so looks like that top five will remain in place for the rest of the show.
And a couple of other dignitaries. Let's see here. Jordan Spieth tied for fifth at 2 under. Matt Kuchar, Ricky Fowler at 1 under. Tiger Woods, after claiming a major victory not long ago, is at 2 over for the championship. But how would you like to be Danny Lee? Just go out Thursday, first round of the PGA Championship. You tie the freaking course record, and you're one behind 18 holes into the championship. Enough of that. There's interesting basketball news, and it's sprung, I think, an interesting idea. I'll explain everything. But first, Clint, the music.
Love. Exciting and new.
Game two of the Western Conference Finals tips tonight by the Bay in Oakland. Kevin Durant will not play. Second straight game for these Western Conference Finals, but this dates back to the middle of the Houston series. And what's more, sources are saying KD not particularly close to a return. And so I think this may be an open and shut case, but we'll go there anyway. Your sink or swim question of the day, should the Warriors shut down Kevin Durant for the remainder of the Western Conference Finals? Call us up. Let us know. 706-0111. CD, this was your brainchild about KD. You can lead us off.
Yeah, and I'm going to kind of start things off by saying I'm going to eat some crow for some stuff that I said last week about this situation if KD was not going to be able to play in Game 6 or Game 7 of the Western Conference semifinals. So I'm going to say swim on this one because, honestly, it feels like they don't need him to win a championship at this point. This team's just performing at such a high level. It's going to be hard to stop them with KD, without KD. Even with Boogie on the bench, they're doing pretty damn well without them.
And who could have foretold that? Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The answer is swim here. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying that you banish the guy, right? I'm not saying that you put a boot on him, something like that, put him on the end of the bench, and then, you know what, we'll see you next season, unless, of course, you're going to play for the New York Knicks. No, if he's fresh and he can help your team, I trot him out during the series to play for the Larry O'Brien Trophy. So, yes, I am absolutely holding him out of the Western Conference Finals. But if he's available and can help me, if he's good enough to go for the finals, I'll take everything I can get going up against the Greek Freak and the Bucks if they prevail and the number one seed advances out of the East. I'll take anything I can get for somebody that's going to wear out Kawhi Leonard if Toronto is the team that's going to advance. Never forget that Kawhi, unlike certain superstars around the league that play on the wing, he draws the best offensive wing that the opponent has. I'm going to let Kevin Durant do his thing and wear out Kawhi Leonard if I get my druthers there. So I'm not willing to say that you tuck him away for good rest of the playoffs, but the question is, do you shut it down for the rest of these Western Conference Finals? I am swimming like the English Channel here. Let's get a little bit from YP, you people out there in listener land. 706-0111. We've got an interesting response on the subject. We'll give the credit here. Sam Burley on the Twitter machine. Here I go, Clint, giving last name. So, Sam, if I just got you in trouble at work, deal with it. They could probably shut him down for the rest of the playoffs. Warriors without KD are still easily the toughest team to beat in a 7-game series. I don't know if I'd go quite that far, but I'll also say he's not 100% wrong. Do I think they can win it all against either team in the East should they prevail without Kevin Durant? I think it's very possible. I won't say that it's a slam dunk, so I won't say that they're easily head and shoulders better than either Milwaukee or Toronto. What I do know is this. The longer that Curry and Thompson especially, the longer that the Splash Bros play without Durant and get their feel back for being co-alpha dogs, more Curry than Clay, the longer they get the feel of doing that and put it into practice on the court, it's not just in theory, the more lethal that they're going to be playing anybody who survives and comes out of the Eastern Conference. So to that end, Sam, I get exactly what you're saying. Again, we got some time for your thoughts. 706-0111. On the other side of our upcoming break, Hunt Palmer breaking down LSU-Auburn baseball. And he'll tell me if I jump the gun a little. My latest weekly reboot podcast, I had the Tigers pegged as a likely traveler for regional play. But right now, D1 Baseball says LSU's a 14 seed. Baseball America says a 15 seed. Perfect Game says 16. So in all three of those universes, LSU would host regional play at Alec Box Stadium. We'll get Hunt's take on all that and more again on the other side of our next break. And one other reminder, this is pretty cool. Tonight we've got Corey Lynn Landry here, 8 to 11, no cover charge at the Taproom River Ranch. But Saturday, June the 1st, so that's coming up in about 2 weeks. We just want to get you thinking about it. They're going to bring back the Saturday Summer Music Series. So what that means is that every week starting in June and moving forward through the rest of the summer, both Thursday and Saturday, There's live music and no cover charge from 8 until 11 at the Tap Room River Ranch. That's exactly the way that you like it here in Lafayette. Not that there's anything wrong with the cover, but we can all agree, if you're at a place that you dig and there's no cover, yeah, that's the best of all worlds possible. So make sure Thursdays and Saturdays, beginning in June, you've got the Tap Room River Ranch front of mind. All right, we led off talking Pels, a little bit of Patrick Peterson, just brought you through the world of the NBA playoffs. Again, we're going to switch it up a little and go LSU baseball. Hunt Palmer, we might just catch him en route to Alec Box Stadium. LSU taking on Auburn, first of a three-game set, and it's the regular season finale in terms of your SEC series Thursday through Saturday in Baton Rouge. We're heading there on the other side of this break. And also Gus Kattengill, straight up 5 o'clock, talking Pels and Zion Williamson. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in to the Tap Room River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
When it comes to purple and gold baseball, Hunt Palmer is dialed in. Now, back to the Tap Room, where Hunt schools Ben on Maneri's Men on 103.7 The Game.
After 4 o'clock, right back into the Tap Room. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. From Lafayette to Baton Rouge we go. Aboard the ARTCO Equipment Hotline, our pleasure to welcome back Hunt Palmer, Outside the Box Podcasting on 104.5ESPN.com. How goes it, Hunt?
Very good, Ben. How are things there in Lafayette?
Things are well here. I want to start big picture with you before we dial in on LSU-Auburn. D1 Baseball, Baseball America, perfect game. All have LSU pegged right now, Hunt. Between 14 and 16 overall seeds. What's your sense of where LSU stands kind of in that race to host a regional and what they can do over the next 10 days to really help their cause?
It's interesting. It's all the numbers are objective, and I can go over all of those, but in the end, it is a subjective process and to what they value the most when they call this thing out on Memorial Day. So, LSU right now, their biggest strength, comparatively speaking with the rest of the hosting bubble, is the quadrant one wins. And they've got 17 quadrant one wins, which is fourth most in the country. And some of the teams, like UC Santa Barbara, is on the bubble for a host. They haven't even played a quadrant one game. They had UC Irvine on there, which they had a couple wins against them, but Irvine's now outside the top 50, so they don't qualify. LSU's RPI is right on 21-22. That's a little high. But, Auburn is a top 20 RPI team. So for LSU, if they can go win 2 out of 3, have 19 quadrant one wins, have 17 wins in the SEC, I think comparatively speaking with the rest of what's a weak hosting bubble, LSU would be in good shape. Now, you'd rather not lose the first one in Hoover and go home on Tuesday. That would make everybody a little bit nervous. But I think LSU would feel really good if they could win 2 games against Auburn here and then go to Hoover and win on Tuesday. I think that LSU have a good chance to be a host. Now, obviously, there are a lot more moving pieces outside with North Carolina and Missouri and Ole Miss and UC Santa Barbara. And there are a lot of teams in that mix. Maybe Baylor can work their way into it if they win the Big 12, even though their RPI is not very good. It's a take care of what you can take care of situation. And for LSU right now, that's taking care of all of them.
Hunt, there was news on both Jaden Hill and Cole Henry, a little more on the former than the latter this week. How much are you buying into their ability to get back in and help this team at some point during the remainder of the season?
Not a ton, honestly. It just doesn't happen. I mean, you've seen Jake Lapp come in and be able to give LSU an inning here or there after an injury. You saw Anthony Renato in 2008 coming back from an injury, kind of throw here or there, but not in high leverage spots. I think people who are looking at this going, but we can just get Henry and Hilliard back. The rotation gets really good. You need to really slam the brakes there, because expecting either one of those guys at any point during the rest of the season to go out there and throw 7 strong innings is just not realistic. I mean, the guys can't even – I mean, they're barely climbing up on a mound at this point. So I'm hopeful an inning here or there, but to be quite honest, when I consider this team and what they've got in the postseason, I don't really factor those two guys in.
B2BS hanging out live at the Taproom River Ranch and enjoying our conversation, talking LSU baseball with Hunt Palmer. You got Eric Walker tonight. You'll have Landon Marceau tomorrow. Are we getting into a situation where suddenly there's enough quality bridge work, and Zach Hess may be at the forefront of that, to where all you really want is, what, 4 1/3, 4 2/3? You don't need 6 or 7. Are you feeling comfortable with that statement, or is that a little premature?
I think that's just not where I am at all, because you've already lost Vittmeyer as one of your guys who you count on to get, you know, 6 or 7, 8 outs in a weekend. And you'd much rather use Zach Hess for 2 innings at the end of the game than hand him the ball in the 4th inning and see how far he can go and burn him in 1 game on the weekend. You just need your starting pitchers, Eric Walker and Landon Marceau, to go out there and get deep into the ball game and let Peterson and Fontenot and Hess pitch the end of the game and not try to stretch them out to their absolute maximum potential every time they go out there, asking every time Hess to go 5, every time Fontenot to go 3, or Peterson to go 4. It's just, how about use those guys like standard bullpen arms and have them throw an inning or two at their max effort where they're the most effective? So, you know, I think Pulmonary had a quicker trigger with the starters over the last 2 weeks because Ole Miss and Arkansas are so potent on offense, and he just thought, if I leave these guys out there, they're going to get hit. Auburn doesn't pose that as big a threat. I think you've got to let your starting pitchers work out of some trouble this weekend and try to eat up some outs because your pitching staff just isn't as deep as it once was.
Hazard a guess as to what Saturday might bring on the mound. I know it will be dependent on what happens Thursday and Friday, but what's your best guess?
Well, the first part of that is I believe Pulmonary is going to manage these things one at a time. He's not going to have Saturday in mind when they play tonight. He's going to go to the pitcher that he thinks will help them win tonight, depending on what that situation is. Once you get to Saturday, you'll reassess things. Obviously, there are some options. Mikhail Hilliard could be plugged back in there. He's been extended, and he can throw a lot of pitches. I think a wild card to look at, if you don't see him go extended in the first two games, Todd Peterson maybe has to go out there. Obviously, Devin Fontenot started the game on Tuesday. Maybe he's an option, although he's not quite as stretched out. You know, it's, at this point, it's going to be on Saturday, and then again on Tuesday, it's going to be kind of look around and see who you got and try to get through it. It's not an ideal situation, but with this many injuries, that's where we are.
Finish it up with Hunt Palmer on 103.7 The Game. Another bit of injury news that Pulmonary updated yesterday. Freshman Cade Beloso, healthy, available with that ankle to play in the field. But Maneri seems to like the way the infield runs with Chris Reed at first base. How do you react to that?
I'm not wild about it, but as long as Beloso's bat's in there, that's what's important to me, because he's a good hitter. He hits a lot of singles. He's got pop to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And if he's healthy, I'd like him in there, even against the tough two lefties they're facing today and tomorrow. You know, you've gotten some productive at-bats. Hughes and Brant Broussard over the last 3 games. Obviously, Hughes had a really nice day on Tuesday. He saw Brant Broussard get on base 5 times over the last 2 games of the Arkansas series with 4 hits and a walk. So, you know, you're trying to find a hot hand. There's no perfect match for this infield. It's not one of those, you know, one of those infields at LSU that is dominant from right to left. But you got to try to find the guy who's feeling it that day. And so Pulmonary is just going to kind of play the hot hand.
Amigo, PGA Championship began today at Bethpage Black. Brooks Koepka is at 7-under. That's a course record. Tiger Woods at 2-over. Will that ensure that you watch only limited and, I guess, sparsely for the next 3 days?
I will be watching a lot over the next 3 days. I don't need Tiger to be winning. It's better if he's winning, but I can watch Brooks Koepka light it up. He's the best in the world right now, and he's a treat to watch. When he's got it going like he does right now, it's tough to catch him.
Treat to chat with you on Thursdays. Hunt, thanks for doing this each and every week. Look forward to talking next week, and hopefully the Tigers are still playing in Hoover at that point.
Absolutely, Ben. We'll talk then.
That's Hunt Palmer. A great, not a good, a great Twitter follow, at HuntPalmer88. And one other thing we didn't get to there, because I want to save next week, you know, for next week. Looks like there's a pretty good chance that Eric Walker might be able to start a Tuesday first-round SEC tournament game for LSU. And that's part of the allure to having these final week of the regular season series go Thursday through Saturday. So starting tonight, Thursday, and then playing Tuesday, maybe so long as it's not at like, you know, 9:30 in the morning, which, you know, is possible. But it looks like it is going to be more than just possible but probable that Eric Walker would get the pill in what could be a single elimination game for the LSU Tigers Tuesday in Hoover. That's not a spot that they've been terribly accustomed to lately. All right, we're going to take our final break of hour number one. You want to get a word in edgewise during today's program. We've only got 2 hours, 4 to 6 p.m. on this Thursday. We need to hear from you next at 706-0111. We've covered the gauntlet, NBA draft lottery reaction, NBA playoffs, LSU baseball, Patrick Peterson suspended 6 games for violating the league's substance abuse policy, or at least the PED policy. We can hear your reaction to any and all of it. When we return, we'll have Gus Kattengill and Q&A replay with Louis Cook coming your way in the 5 o'clock hour. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out, having fun. Nice crowd with us at the Tap Room River Ranch. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
To the show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
And get excited. We're back with more. 12 minutes until 5 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. We're hanging out live from the Taproom River Ranch. Don't forget, they got Rhythms on the River in the area, but they've got free music. No cover charge here. After Rhythms is over, from 8 until 11, our good friend Corey Lynn Landry laying down the sound. Speaking of numbers, I got a few for you. If you want to call in, great segment to do so. 706-0111. And we haven't talked a ton about the Cajuns baseball team, where they're at, what they need this weekend starting tonight in Monroe, and then what comes next week for UL. Let's go down that road for a moment. Cajuns taking on the ULM Warhawks. It's going to be Trey Jeans going tonight for ULM. The Cajuns, at this point, CD, are listed as Taco Bell Anderson, brother. They're TBA all weekend long. Why do you think that Coach Robe is going in that direction, and who would you forecast gets the run tonight?
You know, hypothetically, I'd probably wind up going with Jack Burke starting tonight based off of what he did this past weekend against Georgia State. That being said, though, I think he's doing this largely because he doesn't know what he's going to wind up doing come Tuesday. Who is he going to wind up going with in that elimination game if they wind up in that spot? Because after all, we talked about it since Monday. You need to just win one game. But honestly, I'd predict that Jack Burke gets a start. I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of wants to go more of an opener route. Maybe Grant Cox gets a start, albeit on short rest. He goes a couple innings, and then you kind of go from there.
And we did pay some mind to it earlier in the week, but let's go with a fuller explanation, Clint. And you started us, I think, perfectly there. The Cajuns need one win in Monroe this weekend, where they have been dominant historically, to secure a berth in the Sun Belt Conference tournament. But if they can climb up that ladder, they improve their lot in life. What we know at this point is the Cajuns are likely headed to a play-in game on Tuesday, but there is a slim chance they could sneak into the tourney as the sixth seed if Troy and Coastal get swept this weekend. Again, the chances aren't none, but they are slim. And because of that, and knowing that Tuesday is possibly the most important game of the season, I know that you got to get there, so you'd like to secure a win tonight and have to kind of have it in the rear view, right? Get that one you need in Monroe and feel good about it. But there's no doubt, Clint, if you can't win the play-in game Tuesday, your season ends right there in the play-in game in the Sun Belt Conference tournament. And so we'll let you hear a little bit from Coach Robe on that exact subject, and it'll flesh out some of what Clint already told you here. He says, you know, look, there is some planning that goes into the starter for the Sun Belt Conference opener, but it's still in flux.
I think over the next day or so, we'll start to kind of see how Jack feels, see how Brandon feels. That is my only worry going into this week with a short week, is those guys have been on 5 and 6 days rest. You know, one from the labrum, the other one from his elbow. So that does worry me going into this weekend. So we will have to take a look at that under two conditions. One, for this weekend to be as successful as we can, and then for, I hate looking up the road, but I think you're going to have to take a peek, you know, just to try to do everything you can to try to line yourself up and put yourself in the best possible situation. That's why I really like and glad that our hitters have really now 1 through 9 have stayed on the hitting system.
And he's absolutely right. It does put you in a strange, somewhat foreign position, because you need to win at least one this weekend. You'd like to win more than one and maybe find a way to that six seed. But the reality is this: pretty decent chance. You got a play-in game. If that's the most important game of the season, and it will be, you need your best, your healthiest there. While it's natural that you and I are going to dwell on scenarios, Coach Robichaud went on, I think expectedly, to say that's not his game. He's not going to spend time trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen once they get to the SBC tourney.
No, because it's not part of our process. Jeff, bless his soul, stopped me in the hallway today to try to tell me the scenario, and I said, talk to the hand. So it was over at that point. So we have to worry about playing baseball for us to be successful. Anytime I think you get off a process and start worrying about a result, I just don't think it's good. And right now, winning's a byproduct of them staying on the process. And that's what we have to really stay on top of, is the process. So, you know, some people are saying this is a high you can possibly get, or this is how this can happen or that. I just think we have to go in there and play good baseball, and then look up, get in there and plow with the old mule, and look up on Saturday and, you know, see where we're at.
Pretty sweet 90s reference from Robe there. Talk to the hand action. Clint, we'll bring you back in. I guess, have you started to project, and you and I start to dwell on scenarios, even if Coach obviously won't, who do you think that UL might see in a potential play-in game?
You know, I think they could probably wind up possibly seeing an Arkansas State team that is on the edge of not making the tournament, but it's all about what happens this weekend in that series with ULM. If ULM gets swept, they could wind up sliding into that spot as well. But of course, this is if they wind up staying in this play-in scenario. I think that's probably the team they could wind up facing off against in that play-in game. That'd be an interesting matchup.
Wouldn't that be nice if the Cajuns won 2 or 3 in Monroe this weekend, and then they saw the Warhawks in that play-in game and were able to go with somebody like Jack Burke? To me, that would be an ideal scenario, but again, a lot of things have to play out for that to be the case. What we do know is this, and I'll be the first to tell you. I did my weekly reboot podcast on Sunday, and it was all about how next year could well be a hot seat year for both Mannary and Robe, and likely in that order. But we know this, that there are standards and there are expectations. And for UL not to be at or near the top of the Sun Belt, that's a big problem. For it to happen with some regularity and consistency, and you don't see the recruiting to the point where you kind of feel, all right, well, this is going to turn around, that's a little disconcerting. And so Robe obviously has bought a significant amount of rope. But you do this again next year, boy, that's heading into trouble territory. And that's what I said in the podcast. With Mannary, I think the seat is even hotter, in large part because the expectations are even, well, more stupid. Let's just call a spade a spade. Nobody's ever going to be Skip Bertman again. But one championship in 10 years isn't sitting well with the locals. And having talent and not making the best of it in a season like this is drawing the Les Miles comparisons. I still think that's a tad premature, but what I do know is this. In hour number one of today's show, right, smack dab in the middle of May, we're talking about LSU holding on for dear life to be a regional host for the first time since 2017. And we're talking about UL holding on for dear life to make the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. neither of those things is good, and neither will be acceptable on a long-term basis, even really an intermediate basis. So things to monitor. There's a chance that both can turn it around, and there can be a happier ending to this story in 2019, but it is going to take an about-face. UL, maybe a little more from a performance and pitching standpoint. LSU, from a health standpoint, you just got to say it. They don't have the horses right now on the mound. And what they do have coming back, pitching at the dish, hasn't been as consistent as anybody would have expected. So underperforming programs so far, and they're not going to have too much time left to change that narrative. All right, don't forget Gus Kattengill and some Louis Cook sound coming your way in hour number two, and both will be important. I'll tell you why later. Got to wind down hour number one with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Consistent. Just use that word. Let's bring it back. As dynamic as Tiger Woods was winning at Augusta, as great of a storyline as that was and continues to be, Hunt Palmer's exactly right with what he said. Brooks Koepka is the best going in the world, and he has been for some time right now. His consistency playing at that level is stupefying. And today he broke a course record, shooting a 7-under at Bethpage Black to begin the PGA title. So consistent, the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. All right, we'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Final hour today on a Thursday, May 16 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch, and of course, on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here at the Tap Room, the famous Clint D. We'll hear a little more from him later in hour number two. He's live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We got some opinion from New Orleans yesterday. I want to go back out to the Big Easy. One of our good friends, he's our go-to for the Saints. Oh, he knows the Pels as well. Aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, Gus Kattengill, host of the Sports Hangover, ESPN 100.3 in New Orleans. How are you, Gus?
Doing well, Ben. How are you today, man?
I'm doing well, and it's been a lot of fun watching local media myth bust the big dogs on the national side. But I think the narrative from the national side is, you know what? They had this situation. The Pelicans did in 2012. They drafted AD first. We saw how that went. They couldn't keep CP3. You've got really good insight into this franchise. I'll let you state the case. Why do you feel this time around with the number one pick and Zion Williamson, why is it going to be different this time?
Yeah, I can give you the differences. And the other thing, too, that I'll even preface it by saying it's incredible. If they're basing it, the lack of future success that's going to happen, mind you, by a player that's yet to be drafted, yet they claim they won't have any pieces to put about him. They're going to fail him like everybody else. They haven't drafted yet, which means after the draft you have free agency, right? So the team hasn't even been constructed yet that they're actually going to put on the court. They haven't played a game. They haven't coached. They haven't gone through anything. Yet, we're being told they're not going to be able to do it. They're going to fail doing it. What's ridiculous is the two franchises that everybody wanted this kid to go to are complete exact disasters and have been for years. Yet, they're going to all of a sudden turn it around. It's incredible that they're convinced nationally that the Pels are going to ruin them like they did with AD. I was born in 76, Ben. The Knicks hadn't won a championship since before I was born. And the Lakers have been nowhere near winning a title for years. Yet, it's incredible. No one says that if Zion would have gone there, that it was going to be fixed, right? No, they assumed it's going to be better. This is why it's different. The Chris Paul situation, the Anthony Davis situation, Zion, all three different things that happened and are going to happen. When it came to Chris Paul, you had ownership that was in flux, unstable, sold to the NBA. They made horrible decisions as a GM, traded guys like Tyson Chandler. Byron Scott didn't even know what was going on. I got it. I understood why CP did that. And you didn't even know if you'd have a franchise either. I get it. Anthony Davis, you hired a bad general manager who couldn't get out of his own way. He didn't hire the right staff. He didn't fund it. The organization didn't look at it as they do now. And it wasn't done right from top to bottom, including ownership and also the general manager, though. He tried. He tried to make different moves. He didn't know that Jrue Holiday was going to be injured most of the first couple of seasons that you got in that trade. Okay, the Amir Ashik thing, everybody here locally wanted that move when it happened. But when that second deal came up, you shouldn't have signed him. So bad contracts, bad moves hurt that. Oh, by the way, AD did make money, signed an extension to begin with. So it's not like he, you know, worked for free. When I hear this, he gave them all they had and did all of that. Look, it's different now based on two main principles. It woke up ownership. So Gail Benson, who wanted this team, who got the name changed and all that, this is her base. This is her first part of a legacy, Ben. And the most important thing is she went out and said, we have to run it like the Saints. Not like a football team, but how it's run. You invest. The Saints are high on technology. They're one of the first to try different innovative things. When things weren't working right, they went and got Jeff Ireland, different pair of eyes who did that. That's what she and Dennis Lauschen meant at the owners' meetings when she said, we need to run it more like the Saints. So what they did was they said, we've got to hire one person. Your job is basketball. You report to me. Not Lauschen, not Loomis, me, Dale Benson. She did that with David Griffin, a guy that everybody respects, which, again, makes me get, you know, the blood pressure going when everyone says this is going to fail. All he's done since he's come here is try to hire top people across the league, including Aaron Nelson, the head trainer that everybody respects. So that whole nonsense where if you sneeze, you're out for 3 months for the Pelicans, that hopefully will change. But more importantly, if no one's ever saying this, Ben. Who did he win a championship with in Cleveland? LeBron, right? Isn't he the hardest person in the NBA to deal with right now? Who's the guy LeBron was upset, livid, that Cleveland parted ways with? David Griffin. So he can work with that guy's agent, Rich Paul. He can work with LeBron. And he did what he had to do and dealt with the pressures that came with playing with LeBron and the pressures of running that organization when there was one single thing that he had to do, and that was win a championship. You are in the best place, in the best situation, if you're Zion Williamson, for that reason. Not the Knicks, which is a disaster, who has an owner that throws fans out that booth.
Incredibly well stated, my friend. Just chapter and verse. We're talking Pels with Gus Kattengill on 103.7 The Game. All right, let's spin it forward. As for the likelihood of AD sticking around, clearly, Alvin Gentry, David Griffin are willing to test the waters there. And, Gus, I don't blame them. Would you be in support of that?
So here's the thing. Obviously, emotions, you have the emotional aspect of it and then the basketball aspect of it. If I'm playing a video game and I'm making my Madden team or, you know, NBA 2K19, I mean, you want the best players about you. Look, whether you liked what he did or not, when he played his small amount of minutes after the trade request, then you saw it. He played 25 minutes, had 21 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks, 6 assists. I mean, you know, the guy played, and he's good. He got darn near 20 points a game in 20 minutes. He can play, man. It's that simple. So, look, the reasons that you want to leave, the reasons that you want to go, if it's basketball related, if it's about winning, like he says, you should have alleviated them. Right? Because you are asking to be traded to an organization in which you listed it again. It was foolhardy and again, bad advice when you go on NBA All-Star Weekend and say all 29 other teams are in the mix. Stop it. Okay? Because again, I just mentioned two, the bigger markets, they're disasters, the Lakers and the Knicks. They're run terribly. People don't even want to coach them over there in LA. So when you look at all of that, you already by requesting a trade, you are trusting that where you go is going to be more stable and they will make better decisions than when you come from, right? So I almost look at it like this if I'm Anthony Davis. I'm looking at the Pelicans and David Griffin just like I would be about potential trade partners, because it is a completely different organization. It's not going to be run like it was in the past. So from that standpoint, what do you have? Well, I got Zion. I got about, what, $20, $23 million in cap space that I can spend some money on in the next two seasons, probably get some big price free agents. If I play with Zion Williamson, dude, that's pretty good. It's up to me, like Shaq says. You make $240, $300 million, you're that good. You take your money, and then you'll get people to come play with you. So now you have Zion, you got your $240 guaranteed, you got Drew who wants to still be there and play there, and you have a basketball guy that your buddy, that you did the shop video with, LeBron, trusts, respects, and won a championship with. You tell me where a better situation is. So I get it. It makes perfect sense for David Griffin and him to try to bring him back and try to play, because they're immediately a contender, at least for a playoff spot, that's for sure. But obviously, AD, Zion, Drew Holiday, dude, that's three out of a starting five. You can do well, you know, already. And if he doesn't, I think he can be a good piece.
Gus, how do you feel Zion's game translates to the NBA level, and just how much of a slam dunk can't miss process is the former, or prospect, excuse me, is the former Dookie?
I look at it like this. I think when you look at can't-miss prospects or franchise players, there's an umbrella of things that fall under that, right? What are you hoping a person like that brings onto your franchise? And I guess the best way to look at that is I look at what Drew Brees has been for the Saints. Because remember, 2006, it was Reggie Bush that sold the season out, right? It wasn't Drew Brees. I mean, that guy didn't throw in Tampa because he was recovering from shoulder surgery. So he fits and why he's a can't miss for a certain number of things already, at least from the beginning. He's going to bring excitement for you already. 4,000 season tickets or packages have been sold, from what I'm being told, you know, since Tuesday. I mean, that's incredible. That's huge. That's Reggie Bush type stuff, you know? Secondly, how is he translating to the game? Well, because I want to go because I'm excited. The guy showed up to college with 2 million Instagram followers. You may think that's no big deal. That's massive. There's people that pay and make money and make a living off of having that many followers. So my point is, you have an instant cross-country and global person that can market your product and your franchise. It's something I thought they failed with Anthony Davis. I said the statement here and got killed in New Orleans that Anthony Davis could have been bigger than Drew Brees. People are just looking at New Orleans. The NBA is the second largest sport right now. It's growing to be the second largest sport in the world behind soccer. You may not like the NBA. You may be an NFL football guy. That's fine. No one's telling you not to. But reality is, it's bigger globally. Period. End of story. That's a fact. So I have, you know, and I would, man, if I'm the Pels, I'm going to contact Chinese companies, because Chinese basketball is huge over there. They made Steph Marbury, you know, Starbury over there. The guy eats a bowl of cereal, and the cereal boxes sell out. I mean, it's Steph Marbury, for crying out loud. I make sure that my games are televised over there. Zion's an international global phenom. That's what I can do, and that's something that he brings immediately. He can play offense. He can play defense. Everyone's focused on his jump shot. Everyone's focused on three-point shooting. The number one thing you would yell about Anthony Davis is he shot too many threes. Get in the paint. This guy's exciting. You're watching a guy last night in Giannis that people today on PTI were saying, if he can develop a jump shot, he'll be even better. But the guy has a chance to win the MVP, has his team three games away from the finals, and people are still waiting for him to develop a jump shot. So everyone that's trying to tell me this guy needs to shoot better needs to just show up to the arena, buy yourself a, you know, super expensive beer, and just watch the highlight reel, man. Jordan came onto the scene and developed a video that you bought called Come Fly With Me, not Come Jump Shoot With Me. So, I mean, let him play above the rim, let him block shots, and get excited. It's Griffin's job to go find a three-point specialist. It's Gentry's job to help develop an offense to take advantage of a guy like him. That's why he translates.
come jump shoot with me. That's a mic drop. If ever I've heard one, I don't think we're going to do any better than that. That's a great sign off. Gus, you know I appreciate the time. I know you've been on 3 hours already today. Thank you, my man.
Not a problem. I think you bet.
Gus Cattingill. And he does it every single day. Yeah, that's about to say midnight. All right, not that late. Midday, noon until 3, ESPN 100.3 in New Orleans. We appreciate Gus's time. You recognize the voice? You should. We had him on every single Monday during football season to react to New Orleans Saints games. Try to run that back again, fall of 2019. But appreciate Gus's takes on the Pels. Come jump shoot with me. I'm going to think about that in the break. When we come back, time to throw a little bit of shade. Clint's going to take you down a road that, we began a journey down this road earlier in the week when we coined the phrase the Brick Tamlin of Cajun fans, and we have found another. We're throwing shade next, and then Q&A replay, Louis Cook. It's not going to be a full interview, but there were clips from my recent conversation with the Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer about the possibility, the very real possibility, of high school state title games at Cajun Field. All that's coming your way between now and 6 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, people.
Come on, back to me. This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Come fly with me, let's fly.
Oh, that is rich and compelling. Perfect CD. Come jump shoot with me. We'll rewrite Frank Sinatra there. And that's courtesy of our guy, Gus Cattingill. I absolutely love that. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back into the Taproom River Ranch. And you're dialed in on 103.7 The Game. Happy to take your phone calls, 706-0111, while we wait. I've involved Clint more and more recently in some of the idea generation. I know it's scary. For Sink or Swim, he's done very well with many of them. I'm going to suggest that he has knocked this one out of the park. Hopefully I didn't oversell it. We'll get to that here quick, fast, and in a hurry. First, your daily reminder. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their professional installers. You can trust them inside your home and to beautify life outside your home. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. And if you act now, they can do it before LSU, UL, and the Saints come marching in this football season. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Here's what I know. Important regular season finale series for the Raging Cajuns baseball team this weekend. They're going to travel up to the Great White North of North Louisiana to take on rival ULM. And with the Cajuns and Warhawks getting together, well, there's usually plenty of fuel on the fire. But, CD, you found a way, my good friend, to locate even more.
Yes, I did, Ben. And this is just some fantastic stuff that popped up on my Twitter feed early this morning. And, my goodness, it is fantastic. We talk about the Brick Tamlin of Cajun fans. I think this person got a hold of the UL Monroe baseball Wikipedia page. And there was a whole description of it. I'm not going to get into all that, but get the meat and potatoes here. In 2013, ULM baseball underwent a change at the helm as the University of Louisiana Raging Cajuns became the primary owner of the program. Louisiana's reign is ongoing and ever-present. Off the top rope, whoever wound up editing that Wikipedia page, phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, I enjoyed that too when you first shared it. In 2013, ULM underwent an ownership change, now owned by Tony Robichaux and UL Baseball. I've got a related, tangent type of story, if you will, CD. I can't say the exact verbiage on air, but I can get close. I don't even remember the game. It might have been LSU-Ole Miss 2009 when Jordan Jefferson tried to clock it late at the home of the Rebels. The clock ran out, and LSU never got a playoff. I was very, very wet behind the ears. I was green at that point. I was very new into my tenure as a beat writer covering LSU football. In fact, that was one of my first true road games that I covered for Tiger Rag magazine. But I vividly remember being in the end zone that Jefferson and LSU were driving toward. I vividly remember there being a cannon blast that went off like right behind my freaking eardrum after it went final and Ole Miss won the ball game. And I sort of remember that right after this game, I'm pretty sure it was this game, some LSU fan got a hold of Les Miles' Wikipedia page. And it went from saying Les Miles is an American football coach, right? You know, whatever the standard line is, an American football coach at Louisiana State University. Instead, the first sentence read, until somebody finally took it down, Les Miles is a bleeping idiot. And so, yes, Wikipedia can be altered and quickly. LSU, UL, they don't have the monopoly on that. But it's good to see they're both getting in on the act.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
I'm sure that radio show, especially sports talk radio show hosts like myself, probably have goals of being famous, having their own Wikipedia pages. I don't want one. Don't try to give me one. My name appears within organizations. I get that. I'm pretty sure there's a Tiger Rag magazine one that some of my work and acts were a part of. But I don't want one because I don't want you getting to rewrite who I am. I'm fine seeing it enough on Twitter, on Facebook, occasionally. Clint, I'll give you this before we exit stage left in this segment. One of my favorite moments of like the last 18 months of my life is when my wife, Jen, approached me and said, "Have you ever heard of this Tiger droppings thing?" I was like, yeah. yeah, certainly have. Covered LSU since, like, you know, last decade. Of course, we're getting to the point, once we get into the 2020s, that it's been a decade and a half since I've been around. And I said, yeah, I'm pretty familiar. I know Tiger droppings. Not necessarily a huge fan. OT Lounge, yep, love it. Great way to waste some time and get some laughs. But I don't really follow, you know, the other stuff too much. Don't want to get influenced by a lot of the hearsay, and especially when I was reporting the news day by day, I need to have my own sources, and I did. But I vividly remember her asking me, "Do you know what that page is?" Yeah. She's like, "They don't always have nice things to say about you there." I was like, "Oh, yes, now I'm aware of that." So every once in a blue moon still, she'll send me a screenshot, and some of it's positive, some of it's not, but yeah. So basically, Wikipedia is like having a Tiger droppings that it's supposed to be more formal. It's not supposed to be a message board, but yet it's still able to be edited by the public. So I figured I would share that Tiger dropping story with you and our listening audience.
That's some fantastic stuff there, Ben. I can only imagine how much stuff they've said about me, and considering the fact some people consider me an LSU hater.
Well, that's just fact. No, I'm kidding. All right. That's post-shade. That's post-shade for me right there. But, yeah, don't exactly go searching for any of that, but it has occasionally come by my nose, and yeah, no doubt about it. One of my favorite moments of the last 18 months, my wife. Have you ever heard of this Tiger Dropics thing? Sure, I've heard about it. All right, CD, we've got a little bit of news on our way out of this segment. Austin Perrin will get the start for UL tonight at ULM. So LSU is at home against Auburn to end its regular season. Tonight, first of a three-game set, Tigers v. Tiger / War Eagle / Plainsman. Our other program we frequent on this side of the basin, UL, is at ULM, same thing. Thursday through Saturday, ending the regular season, Austin Perrin will start tonight, still TBA or D, depending on how you like your acronyms. We don't know Friday and Saturday starters for Tony Robichaux, but we do know now Austin Perrin will get to go tonight against the Warhawks. Cajuns need just one win to make sure they have a place in the 2019 Sun Belt Conference Tournament. All right, we're coming right back. Going to let you hear from Louis Cook. Could there be championship football played at Cajun Field? I think some of the sound you're going to hear helps us point even closer toward yes. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, And we'll be right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in with more of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. It's kind of the calm before the storm here. They're getting ready for the Rhythms on the River after party. It goes down each and every Thursday, and we need you to come and join us. Corey Lynn Landry will be playing here live music, no cover charge, 8 until 11. I have promised you some sound from Louis Cook, and that will lead to conversation. Of that, I have no doubt. Before we get to it, how about a quick update? As part of the NBA scouting combine going down in Chicago right now, LSU's Naz Reid, Tremont Waters, two of 66 players that were invited. Waters has had an awfully good day. Put on a shooting clinic. Some of his shuttle times were among the absolute best. And Naz Reid, impressing as well, but there's something he said that'll probably get you maybe the most excited. Naz Reid saying he has met with 15 teams already, and yes, the New Orleans Pelicans are included in the list. We'll have plenty of time to talk Pels as the show proceeds. But we have some main attractions for you. And last Friday, Louis Cook of Notre Dame of Acadia Parish was good enough to sit in for the better part of an hour while we were hanging out at Rufino's on the river. And the last 15 minutes of our conversation strictly gravitated toward the state of affairs with the playoffs in high school football and this further split that the accepted Mike Boyer proposals kind of gives us now. It all leads to the idea that this year, I mean, seriously, we're talking about like 7 months from now, less than 7 months from now, Cajun Field could be hosting state title games for the select side, the private schools. So let's kind of take you down that rabbit hole real quick. Going to let you hear from Louis Cook. First up, one thing we do know at this point, it's not just a maybe. Right now, there's not even an option. The select side is out of playing games in the Superdome.
You know, we're out of the dome right, you know, as of right now. I mean, they're going to proceed with the 5 games of non-select schools, you know, like it used to be when we were all together. You know, I've been around long enough to actually coach in the state championship game in 1975 at Lutcher. So I was at Rain. I was assistant coach at Rain, and we got to the finals. So I've coached in a game that before it even got to the dome. It was pretty, you know, I mean, the atmosphere, you know, because Lutcher, you know, football at Lutcher is the only thing, you know. And so for us going down there, I can remember, and of course that was my second year in coaching, so it's like, wow, you know. You know, I mean, obviously the dome was special, and everybody, when I got to Crowley High and they hadn't won a game in 2 years and we redid the locker room, we painted a picture of the dome. You know, not so much of the fact of going to the dome, but obviously that's where the state championship was played. Because I also can remember the minute that we sat down to talk after winning the semifinal game in 89, where we had beat Broadmoor High School to get to qualify. I told the kids, I said, if I hear one of you guys say we're going to the dome, I'm leaving you home. So we're going to play for the championship. It just happens to be in the dome. You know, the one good thing was that week I didn't have to check the weather.
I love that story. One year, hey, you can't even talk about going to the dome. Don't even let me hear dome come out of your mouth. More from Louis Cook. And here's starting to really get to the point you probably care most about. At least I do, right? If it's not going to be at the dome, well, then for local teams, if they're higher seated and they have their druthers, especially on the select side, well, they'll have the better part of 2 weeks between a semi and a final. Can it be at Cajun Field? Same for boys and girls basketball. Can it be at, I don't know, Cajun Dome, Blackham Coliseum, baseball? Can it be at Teague Moore Field, softball? Can it be at Lampson Park? At this point, I know that it can. I don't mind even hiding my potential excitement on the subject. I hope that it will. And Louis Cook says here, it certainly is possible that the football side could be a Cajun feel.
Well, I know, you know, Brent Hendes and I talked, you know, had we had those 2 years like that and we do go to Cajun Fear, we'd probably be somewhere between $60,000 and $100,000 to the good in our program had we played it in Lafayette instead of having to go down to New Orleans, which for
what? Is that, I mean, give me a little bit of insight there. That's based off of the gate and what else?
Right,
I'm curious.
Okay. You know, they gave each of us got 1,500 tickets to sell. All right. There's been years where we've sold 3,500 before we left. They say they're going to give you $1 per ticket that you sell. Okay, so you get $1,500. The guarantee for a 2A school, us in Catholic High, $7,000. So you go there. All right, so let's just say they sold all theirs, boom, right away. So that's 3,000 tickets sold. Let's just say we each sell, you know, another 1,000. So the 5,000 tickets sold. You know, 15, whatever they sold. At 15, that's $75,000. All right, so you pay the LHSA 10%. So now you're down to 67.5. Say UL, all expenses, referees, rent, is another $7,500. That leaves you $60,000. So in 2 years, you know, we each would have got, we've got 30,000 each for 2 years. So that's 60. And that's with a modest, that's 5,000. That's a modest.
Yeah.
Like I said, we sold 3,500 several years to people all going all the way to New Orleans to watch the game. Just think what would have showed up here.
And, oh, my gosh.
And then if STM's falling right behind us or LCA or, you know, who knows?
Now, look, a big friend of the program, Billy Napier, and all the Cajuns coaches that could be listening, you can hear Muffet. But there's no doubt in my mind, if you had Notre Dame, Catholic New Iberia, and then you chase that with whatever, STM Evangel? Are you kidding me? There would be more people in the Cajun Field vicinity, not just tailgating, but reporting to the game at Cajun Field, than you would have for a number of raging Cajun home football games. Not all, again, the point of that wasn't to throw stones at the Cajuns program. They're building. You listen to this show, you know I'm a fan of what they're doing. But the attention and the interest in those games at Cajun Field, you would draw the local casual fan. Right? You would. I just mentioned three local programs that would potentially play in a game like that. Let's throw LCA in as well, right? So maybe you're talking about LCA Southern Lab. You don't think that the casual, it doesn't even matter, fill in the blank, Turling's Catholic fan won't go to that? You don't think that the casual Southside High, who knows? But, yeah, the answer is they're going to come. Right? I mean, first Thursday or Friday, maybe first Saturday in December? Yes, they're going to come to that. It would be a massive hit. So let's get some more from Louis Cook on the subject. And this is really the same exact topic, the prospects of playing at Cajun Field.
There are some good prospects to this thing. You know, it just, you know, we still got a lot of things to work out. But, I mean, like I said, I've coached semifinal games in Crowley Stadium where we had to bring in extra seating. And that's pretty neat when those kids come onto that field. And, you know, that little, you know, it's a great little atmosphere. Everything's enclosed at Crowley Stadium. And you put people all around that, behind the benches and all around there. I mean, we've done that, you know, in 89 when we got to the final, semifinals with Broadmoor. And I had to bring in the extras. We played Lutcher at Notre Dame in 06 in the semifinal. We had to bring in extra seating. And that stadium, you know, the stadium in Crowley holds probably almost 4,000. It's jammed up. It's pretty neat, you know.
I'll say this. One of our favorite whipping posts on the program, LeVar Ball, and the guy's a fool, but he always says, I'm going to speak things into existence. I promise you, I'm going to help speak with my part on my show, state championship football games into existence at Cajun Field, and ditto for all the other sports I mentioned on the Cajuns campus. There's no reason for it not to happen. Now, understand this about me and the way that I think. I'm going to connect this to the final clip from Louis Cook that we're going to air on today's program. You need to understand this because it's important. I feel pretty certain that Mike Boyer, principal at Turling's Catholic, had a lot of these proposals in mind because the private select side weren't being necessarily heard at the table to the degree that they wanted. But I also think he has the greater good in mind at the end. That's at least my opinion, which is, hey, if you separate and there's some hurt, maybe especially on the public side, eventually this is going to drive everybody back together. And that is exactly what I want. We all need to be under one roof again. That's the direction this thing eventually needs to head. And Louis Cook, with this final cut, says the exact same thing.
In 2012, which was the last year we were all together, we go to East Feliciana. Here we are in the middle of nowhere, Clinton, Louisiana, you know, and played it. Beckwith was a senior. We played him in the semifinals. That little community sent us a check for $14,000, our cut, from that game that night, okay? That's more than we made in the two home games that we had this year, you know, our share, leading up to the Dome. So you know, you're losing out in other areas, and you're not making it up with a championship game, you see. So, like I said, you know, and people say, oh, the private schools got money. Hey, our parents are working as hard as anybody else. They're sacrificing this, and they don't have thousands of dollars they can just throw at you to say, oh, you know, here, you know, we'll help out. You know, they do what they can, but it's not like that for everybody, you know. So I'm anxious to see how this thing's going to progress.
Really was a lot of fun to sit down with Louis Cook on several levels, but that was probably my favorite part. And my position is really simple. As we head toward the final break in today's program, I am 100% for taking advantage of the situation that has presented itself. While these select games can be played at a venue like Cajun Field on the football side, boy, I hope that they will be. And I hope that that brings games, as I mentioned, to the Cajun Dome and all over UL's campus. It would just be a blast. But ultimately, I do hope that this is a driving force that brings everyone back together, because I do think that Humpty Dumpty can be put back together. So here's my plan. I wanted to run down all this sound for you in case you missed it on Friday. And on the other side of this break, we'll get your two cents. Call us up, 706-0111. We'll be right back out to the Tap Room River Ranch. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, drawing oh so close to Auburn LSU baseball on 103.7 The Game.
He's to the 10, the 5, touchdown!
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Back in one final time. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Our good friend Ron has been waiting. Let's bring him in aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Ron heard the conversation with Louis Cook. Thank you, Ron, for waiting through the break. What'd you make out of that, and what do you think?
I like it. Just a few questions about it. If you would play these select games at Cajun Field, wouldn't that bring the equation in with maybe Shreveport saying, look, we got a pretty good stadium up here in Shreveport. Even Magnese, my brother ran track at Magnese in the 80s, and I always thought Cowboy Stadium was a pretty good stadium, you know. And just another comment with that, too, the state basketball tournament, it's like Brent Coliseum to me is just not a good place to watch a basketball game. I think it should be in the Cajun Dome all the time. But going back to the conversation, would that open up at a lot of like Shreveport or Lake Charles, or hey man, we got a nice stadium over here too to play? Would that open up that conversation too?
Well, there's a really simple answer to your question. Under Boyer's proposal, what's been voted on and ratified, the higher seed gets to select, right? And so I'll just use the example, because this year, if I'm not mistaken, Evangel is going to be in the same select division two as St. Thomas More. So Ron, as an example, if Evangel's the one seed, STM is the two seed, and they advance to the final, absolutely, Evangel's going to have that thing up in Shreveport. So the top seed gets to decide, but I can promise you this. I know it's already going on. I don't know how it's proceeding. I don't know how these conversations are being met. Mm-hmm. But I've had numerous coaches suggest to me on the select side that they're going to do their best to see if they can't steer, especially in basketball, the select semis and finals to the same venue. But you can't force that unless you have complete agreement. The way that it's going to be done starting this next academic calendar year is the semis will be at the higher-seeded team, and that the higher-seeded team in the finals will get to pick their place to play, but understand that place is going to have to be an accepted LHSAA venue, right? And so certainly all the Cajun Field, Cajun Dome venues would be approved, but there might be certain schools where if they said, for example, Ron, hey, we want to play at home, LHSAA, I think, has the right to say no way, Jose.
Okay, so you don't think that would open up any kind of turmoil or take away from money from the schools, anything like that? What I'm getting at, you know, cause like I said, if I'm Lee Vandrew, well, if I come down to life, you have to play a school down here at Cajun Field, why can't they come over here, like you're saying, and play an independent stadium, you know?
Well, there's a few ways to look at that, Ron. I'll answer it. I got to close the show here in a bit, but thank you for the call. No, that's a good question. And this is the type of conversation I wanted to start. My understanding is that if in that sense, or that example, that Evangel comes down to Cajun Field, I mean, they're still going to split half the gate. So, yeah, they may want to play at home, but if they're not the higher seed under the rules, they don't have the claim to it. But if they took half of what was made of a game at Cajun Field, I mean, my God, the amount of money they'd make there as opposed to playing in the Dome would be staggering. Understand that 2 years ago, teams that played in the Dome, public and private, didn't get the money that they were promised. Didn't even get the baseline amount that they were promised. And so I know that it should be about the kids and not the money, but in certain situations, the money can go back to help the kids and the programs that they play for. So, look, I'm not a dummy in all this. It would be huge for the Lafayette economy, but it ain't just going to be Lafayette. To Ron's point, again, I'm just using teams that come to mind to represent areas. If Barb is the number one overall seed in 5A, if Sulphur is the number one seed, and they advance to the state championship game, well, that's not a great example. I need a select school now, don't I? You get what I'm driving at. If somebody in the Lake Chuck area is the top overall seed, they can absolutely ask to play at McNeese's home field. If it's available and the LHSAA approves it, which they would, then it's game on in Lake Charles. Same thing in Shreveport. Same thing all around this state. And so it's going to be interesting. And I think a lot of these venues, a lot of these universities, a lot of these places, they need to have their ducks in a row, because you're going to learn, I mean, what, the day after Thanksgiving for the select semifinals that, hey, by the way, in 10 days, you could have a state final on your grounds. And what a great recruiting tool that would be for UL, for example, or any of these institutions that get to bring fan bases and players onto their field. So it's a conversation I wanted to further, because we had it with Louis Cook, and I didn't get to respond much to it last Friday. We've been busy this week with Zion Williamson, the Pels, but I managed to fit it in on a Thursday. I'm happy to continue it with you tomorrow. A lot of fun today. Great guests, great conversation at the Tap Room River Ranch. Don't forget, they got Rhythms on the River going on right now. L.A. Rocks playing some 80s music out there. In here, from 8 to 11, our good friend Corey Lynn Landry. There's no cover charge. Come start your weekend early. And if you can't come out here tonight, you can see us tomorrow at Ruffino's on the River. Kevin Falk will be at Ruffino's with me in the bar area from 4:30 to 5 o'clock. James Moran will preview game 2 of LSU versus Auburn. And otherwise, we'll just continue to have fun. Got to thank Hunt Palmer, Gus Cattingill, and maybe the royalties of Louis Cook. That was really good stuff there. Thanks to all of our listeners and guests today for the famous Clint D. My name is Ben Love, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. LSU Auburn Baseball next from the box.